As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I'm always happy to be here, ready and prepared to talk about the issues that impact our lives today and in the future. We must be ready to share our thoughts with the world so there's no doubt about what we're thinking or feeling regarding the behaviors of others. We need to stand tall as we determine what it is that we want in our, how we want to be governed and treated in our nation. We're going to take a short break here in the beginning, as always, to let everybody get an opportunity to get on the line so we can talk about the issue of the day.
No matter come what may, love would prevail. And then, inside the dreams I knew, came the question love is here, can true love fail? Then I would miss the child of wish, and haven't I sung to of the night in armor bright, faithful and true to you, darling, after all. I will be the one to hold you in my
position related to the video that I sent out to everyone. I sent out to everyone a video where a police officer was writing a young lady a ticket for a brake light being out. And because she didn't fully go by his instructions by letting her window all the way down, he in turn escalated the situation and arrested the woman and then charged her with resisting arrest and for a taillight. Well, my position is this. I would have let the window all the way down because I don't have time to be going through any changes with police officers. But I think the onus is on the police officer to remain in control and remain the person that de-escalates situations instead of escalating situations. So if a situation does not require that it be escalated, and he ought to be the one to endure the annoyance. I mean, if a woman won't let her window down, that's an annoyance. It's not a requirement, and there's no law that says how many inches you have to let your window down. And so police officers need to learn to let stuff roll off their back before they go to 1 to 100 with arresting people who don't need to be arrested. Every citizen who does not obey your commands completely should not be made into a criminal. Fact is that they're more tolerant of white individuals than they are black. So the ones who usually who get jumped on or escalated the violence always seems to be people of color. So my position is we should require police officers to remain professionals at all times and not waste their time arresting people for petty issues like not letting their window down all the time. So after being told I was wrong by each and every one of those individuals who were on yesterday, I sent videos out to my normal crew and to hope to if they could see the difference. Because a lot of times when people of color speak or don't obey rules, they are then hit with these extreme actions by police officers. But as I researched, I found instances when white people were way worse in terms of not understanding or not following police instructions. And then sometimes they were told, hey, just go on. We don't even want to deal with you. Okay? So my tone is, police officers need to know and learn how to be tolerant. They are paid professionals, and they need to learn when something is not an issue. They know that their word or their command is ultimate. But you don't have to treat people the same that way all the time. And I do know that there are some white officers who treat people the same and who don't allow their ticket situation to escalate out of control. But those who do need to be handled. They need to be suspended. And if they cannot get a grip on their control or their ability to handle themselves, then they need to ultimately be fired. Now, again, I know how to act during the ticket, and I'm not trying to escalate anything. I just want my ticket, and I want to be on my way. And so I know how to behave. But there are going to be times when a normal citizen does not feel like playing the game. And so when a normal citizen does not feel like playing the game, the onus should be on the police officer to be the professional and not just haphazardly go around arresting people for nonviolent offenses. So that is my position, is that I don't think we should put the obligation on the citizen to remain in control. We need to put the onus on the officer to remain in control get the ticket signed, and be about his way. And that's my position. Now, I know that there are people who feel different. I feel confident or good about what how I explain my position. We pay police officers to be professionals. We train them to be professionals. And when they run into a citizen who is not, who may be somewhat difficult, don't turn that difficult citizen into a criminal. That difficult citizen might just be having a bad day. And just give them the ticket and let them be on their way. So that is my position. And I want everyone to know that I sent them videos to show them how differently white individuals are treated by police officers versus African Americans. And that we need to recognize at some point we're going to have to stand up. I don't know who it's going to be because, you know, I don't want to get handcuffed. I don't want to get thrown in the back of a vehicle. But at some point, we have to bring light to the fact that people are being treating us unfairly and that we're not going to tolerate it. So let's go to the phone. All right. Joyce, how are you doing this evening? Did you get a chance to view any of the videos that I sent out?
Yes, I did. I viewed most of the ones that you sent out. I didn't view all of them, but I did review most of them. I would like to comment back on yesterday because when you look at portion of it and how I looked at it, that the problem wasn't about the window being rolled down. The problem was from the issue from the jump street, from off the start, where she did not present the registration. She did not follow what he stopped her. He stopped her, told her what he stopped her for, the taillight, can I see registration? Then she went into a whole different story. I mean, how do you know whether or not she was telling the truth? So the benefit of the doubt is that you follow the rules. Rules are show your registration. She did not do that. So to me, you that's putting a whole different scenario. So it wasn't about that. We made it the issue. You made it the issue when you stand that. That's all what happened after the fact by not rolling the window down or whatever. Those are after the fact. Secondly, is that we blacks, you're always going to be different. This is not new. I mean, like D had indicated yesterday, our young people are the new generation. They want that hood type of thug mentality until they turn a certain age, and then the light bulb goes on. But in the meantime, what our young people have to do is that you got to read what is and have to address what is being dealt with you in front of your face. That person persona, you got to know how to read that person and know how to react. Just because he's not maybe not acting professional, you can counteract the situation by the way that you handle yourself. So you always situation is going to be differently. What I do is that I look at what I'm dealing with in front of me, and then you act and you address it accordingly. I mean, that's just coming from the South. That's how we was told how to read people, survive people, and address people, and get where you are. That's where I guess where I'm at today is because how I communicate with people. So our young people have to learn how to do that. But some of the videos that I saw today, it's just unreal. I just cannot believe that this is happening with our law enforcement. Those type of people needs to be off of the force, particularly that black young lady who had the BMW. I can relate to that because I had an issue when I had my BMW and I was stopped by the police just a block away from around my house. And what saved me was my white neighbor came out and said, "How you doing today, neighbor?" And that automatically put the policeman in check. He wanted to write me for a ticket with speeding with a stick shift. How can you speed when you take off from a stoplight? But I did not argue with him in the whole bit. But my neighbor, which was a white neighbor, he came out and he addressed and he immediately sent a message to the policeman. So, you know, we're going to be dealt with a lot of stuff. We're just going to do it because we are black. So our young people, it's all in about how we address the situation. And when they go high, when they go low, we go high. We just have to start doing that and looking ahead.
And Joyce, I understand what you're saying about trying to avoid situations, but one of the things I want to share with you is after his sergeant got there and the young lady was handcuffed and so on, he made this statement about, oh, she tried to roll the window up on my hand. And that never happened. So he was already prepared to lie on his report to make the situation even worse. And he was going to charge her with battery on a Leo. And so those are the kinds of charges that are felony charges that they so easily throw on us for things that never happen. And so I'm just saying, if you never call a bad cop out, he gets to remain on the force until somebody is willing to stand up to him and call him out. And again, you're right, I'm not going to be the one to do it because I got too much to do and I don't want to be handcuffed and I don't want to be thrown in the back of a police car and I don't want to be bonded out of jail. But there is going to be some heroic individual who says enough is enough. What are your thoughts about some of the things that I sent you? You told me to make sure that I wasn't selective, so I tried to get a kind of different selection of things. But what are your thoughts about some of the things I sent you and the fact that the earnest should be on the police officer to remain professional at all times?
James, I want to commend you for doing a great job, James. You are very thorough, and your content is never boring. So you are to be commended for the work that you do. All right. Now, one of the videos that you sent today was in retrospect different than what we talked about yesterday. But I like to use today's video of the school teacher to make my points. All right. When we're talking about these police officers, we have to, again, understand that we have a mentality that's been implemented by said administration and governing factors that almost put the police officers unconsciously, I'm going to give them that room, unconsciously in a police state. All right, let's start right there. The video that you sent today with the school teacher kind of proves that point where he was so quick to snap. And he snatched this little lady out of the car. And you're talking about a good 90, 100 pounds wet. Now, I got to throw the God factor in right here, right now, because God works in mysterious ways. When that officer stopped the car, he stopped it at a great angle with the dash cam rolling. All right? When he decided to snap and threw her to the ground, by the grace of God, he threw her down right in front of the camera. All right? The tactics that he used was jiu-jitsu or some other martial art type of tactic, which says to me that he was itching to implement those techniques on somebody. Now, let's get to the school teacher. I tell you, I praise her up and down for her poise that she held together. Now, Miss Kathy talked about that yesterday, where these police have this thing where they want to get brownie points by their peers in the department. But this school teacher, being as bright and smart as she was, what did she do? She never cursed them. She screamed and hollered, and she called Jesus' name, called God's name, and that is going to make a great difference. I bet you this police officer's wife going to ask him, what were you thinking? If she's any kind of real woman, she got to ask that question. His daughter's got to be scared silly to wonder what was going through their daddy's mind. All right? Now, back to the smarts and the composure that we've been talking about that you got to have. Now, I can only hope and pray that I have this kind of composure that the school teacher had in the back of the police car. She continued to interrogate and got answers from this police officer driving that's going to be used against them by way of the tape. He went on to say, you know, 99% of black people are violent, and that's why this happened to you. And he said that. Now, the department head got to come to the forefront. Now, James, right here at this point, this is where I got to make the difference of what we talked about yesterday about somebody having to protest and doing things differently in a day's time. Back in the day of Dr. King and all, protesting in the street was a new thing, was a new idea. And white Jim Crow America had never seen nothing like that. That's why that worked. But this is a different time and a different way. And the way to do it this time, and this time, is use the technology that we've been talking about all month by way of the cell phone. And I'm going to cut this off right here. I propose that if you want to make a difference, if young people want to make a difference, take your cell phone and do experiments of the contrast and the double standard. Go out with a weapon and you license to carry and see what happens. Document it. And then these police heads going to have to do something because it's going to be documented, Facebook Live, YouTube, do however you want to do. But you will get results that way in today's time, modern times.
You know, you and Joyce brought up two stories that were two horrific stories that I sent you. And the belief that a African-American woman who owned a BMW got stopped for singing in her car and not putting her hands on the wheel at a stoplight. And she was brought to jail and then came back the next day to get her BMW. And they suggested that she had some mental issues and subsequently put her in the hospital for 9 days. She could have possibly lost her job. They put stuff in her record about her being bipolar, and all of these things were just stuff they made up to justify holding this woman. And in fact, they couldn't believe that she could drive a BMW. And D, the one you were talking about, was simply the lady got out of her car, didn't want to put her legs, was going to sit in the car, but didn't want to put her legs back in the car and let the door remain open. The woman wasn't going to run nowhere. All he had to do was go back and do what he was going to do, but he just wanted her, as soon as she said, I don't want to put my legs back in the car, he snapped, like you said. It was like, it was so quick, and he gave, you know, he just allowed one command that he gave that she did not follow to create that whole scenario. And to suggest that all African Americans are violent based on those little behaviors are ridiculous. She didn't display any violent behavior by just not wanting to put her leg back in the car. And to have all African women subjected to crazy people, to me, the earnest needs to be on the police officers to remain professional. You don't ask the citizen to be the one to remain professional. We should be asking the police officers who are paid government officials to remain professional at all times. We're going to take a break and come back and continue our conversation.
My heart is filled with joy that can't be described. Your presence has driven my passion to a place I am unable to return. Now my life is filled with the happiness of our days to come. I now seek to recreate the love you have given me so that you will know the unlimited source of joy you have provided in my spirit. My days and nights will be spent trying to insert the same love into your heart. No longer will my days be used to capture that which I already have in you. My life now is focused on showing my gratitude to those who helped to create your wonderful spirit for me. I am the true recipient of the magic within you. The harmony that exists in us will be an example for others to emulate. The enchantment that is in us will be displayed in every step we take. Our journey will be one of pure and perfect love. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. My show is on from Sunday to Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 o'clock West Coast Time. It is time for your voice to be heard loud and clear. So please call in at 657-383-0309. It is time to be part of a movement that is using the technology we have to let our voices be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. On my show, your voice will be heard, respected, and appreciated. It is time for us now to take control. Please visit my website, JamesTDeshay.com. That is JamesTDeshay.com. I look forward to you calling into my show at 657-383-0309 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday through Friday, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays. Take care.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Joyce, what are your thoughts, you know, as we kind of look at all those different videos, and should the general public be at the mercy of police officers who can just turn a simple situation into such a horrific event, as is the lady with the BMW?
Well, no, it's just a jealousy type of issue. And just like I think that was stated, the commentator indicated that he was jealous and his first thought, how could she own a BMW when he doesn't? You have some people with that type of mentality. Believe it or not, I had one of my jobs that I had, and my boss indicated to me that for the lifestyle that I live, that my husband had to be a pimp, a dope dealer. Can you believe a supervisor would tell me something like that? But that's the mentality of how some people view and look at minorities. Not saying that we're too hardworking individuals who have earned the type of living that we do, save, put away, pay ourselves first, and do those things that one of the financial planner had indicated in order for us to get ahead. But this is how some people look at you. So that's the type of supervisor that I had to address. So he automatically let me know where her head was. So you have to deal with that person differently. And it's just sad, but you have a lot of hatred out there amongst blacks and minorities and how they look. But most minorities that I know of, all minorities, they're good, hard workers, and they believe in earning their keep and making a living on doing earnest things. And there's nothing wrong with getting ahead that way, but most whites, regardless of what you do, they don't look at you like that. Look at how they look at Oprah. You know, some of your athletes, they'll tell you that they was in the elevator and a white woman didn't know who she was, and these two got in. I think it was Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan, and the lady started screaming in the whole bit because she thought that they were thugs in the whole bus. It's just crazy. It's just really, that's what we're dealing with out there.
And they use stereotypes to justify their behavior related to us. And see, that's part of the problem. We need them to recognize that they can't just put African Americans in a box and believe that all of them are the same. When that man, when D was talking about the gentleman saying 99%, that is just a ridiculous statement. There is no way that out of all these hardworking people of color, that 99% of them are violent and want to escalate simple traffic stops. And so they take a small minority of individuals and make them the basis for everybody. And that's why they run into trouble, because sometimes they're dealing with people that is going to get them in a lot of trouble, because people are going to recognize how professional they are. Just like D said, that elementary school teacher, he had no doubt. He didn't think 1 minute that she was an elementary school teacher and that he was going to get the backlash that he was going to get. He thought he was just dealing with another black woman that wouldn't have a mouth and would not have a voice, and that he was going to get away with throwing her around like a rag doll. And you can tell by his discussion with his boys after he had literally just tossed her around and treated her so unfairly. And, Deke, you know, what are we going to do to require and make police officers know that they have to remain professional at all times, and they cannot just use their need to be authoritarian as a part of their job trait?
Well, James, I think that's going to have to come from the top. That's probably going to have to come from the state attorney general, a state attorney, and say given state, all the way down to the police chief, and then to the sergeant at the morning meetings, and then that idea will be probably talked about. I want to talk about two things real quick. One of which is the lady that was stopped by not having her hands on the steering wheel. Now, this is not Turkey, the country. This is not Russia. And I find that story a little far-fetched, me being a person with discernment. I'm just going to call it that. We heard from her. We heard from her attorney. And we heard from the talk show radio host. Okay? That is not enough for me. All right? Again, this is not Turkey. We're talking about New York City. All right. Now, so if I was on a jury, and I think any white person on all white jury would need somewhat more evidence before they come to judgment in that fashion. That's her account. I would need a lot more information before I came to judgment on that. All right. Back to your question, what are we going to do or what do we need to do? Again, I think the actual street protest, Al Sharpton don't even do that no more. Jesse doesn't do that no more. They've come to realize that that was the thing for that day. We need to implement new ideas and start taking advantage of technology. I would propose that, you know, get your film crew. Get your film crew, young people, and start experimenting. Do experimentation to see how the double standard still works. You know, the thing about that police officer that was jokingly with his boys when the sergeant ran up on him and everything, you know, all people of other races, they'll back each other up. They'll back him up until somebody like the school teacher get internal affairs involved. Seriously. Then the covers will come off. But don't, you know, she should not get her shade tree lawyer. Not from that county, not from that state, if need be. go higher up. She has a wonderful case. It had it been me, I would still be laying on the ground. So we got to make the higher ups feel the pressure. And I think using technology with an amateur film crew, it don't take much. Just take some part-time actors to go out and test the double standard. And then put it on Facebook, put it on YouTube. It'll go viral. Once it goes viral, that's the term now, we got to keep up with the trend. We can't fall behind the trend, because if we fall behind the trend, we'll be slow to catch up on what really needs to be done. That's my point.
All right. Regina, how are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Did you get the opportunity to view any of the videos that I sent out yesterday?
I saw them, and they were talking about the same old same old with the police brutality and the inequities in the justice system. And I saw the one that I told you that it had gone viral here in South Carolina. I believe it was the one where the police officer pushed the gun to someone's head and said he would kill him.
Right.
That was in Charlotte.
And the man was down in handcuffs, and he told him if he moved, he'd blow his brains out.
Yeah.
And the only thing he did wrong was run. He was a passenger in a car, and there was no need to treat him like that.
You know, I had the opportunity to ask a question of one of our police officers here in Columbia, and they were on a radio program. And I've been noticing that they will tell a person, or they may stop me, or a police stop, traffic stop, and they will tell me that I am not under arrest, but I am being detained. And they are putting the handcuffs on me. And I really have a problem with that, because that brings anxiety. So, and they said that it was for their safety that they did that. So I can understand that some of the anxiety that our African American males and actually females are feeling, and the running, and I can understand it. I don't condone it, but I see where they're coming from, because there's so much happening to us when we're in those handcuffs, because we're helpless then. We can't defend ourselves.
Well, one of the things that I was asking, Regina, is we pay police officers to remain professional. We don't pay citizens to be professional. And so there, when there are things that a police officer could simply just overlook because he is a professional, there is no reason for him to be a less escalating every situation just because he can. And he needs to be the one that remains professional and overlooks some of the things that citizens may do, and just not look at everything as an opportunity to throw handcuffs on somebody and take them to jail. You don't need to turn every citizen who's having a bad day into a criminal. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, again, I can understand both sides of it, whereas the police department has seen and experienced so much towards them that they are really trying to protect themselves, be proactive instead of reactive. But they're being proactive and reactive at the same time many, many times. The two do not go together. If you are being proactive, then you can take a stand back, you know, in a situation. But if you are reacting, it's too late to take a stand back. You're already in action mode. So I can understand both sides, but it's not right. Someone had the paid professional has to remain professional. That's just like as a teacher. Today, I had a child who I knew anything that happened, he will go home and tell his parents a complete opposite story, and they will absolutely believe him, don't care what it is. So I knew he was coming in there for discipline. In my mind, I had to understand and figure out how I was going to handle that, because I'm the paid professional, not the child. The police officers are the paid professionals in these situations, and they must act accordingly.
And not turn every little simple situation into such a dramatic situation. And I just, I understand. I told Joyce, and I've told everybody, I would have let the window down and allowed the officer to give me the ticket, sign the ticket, and been on my way. But there are going to be citizens who don't display the same behavior. And those citizens shouldn't be turned into criminals because they may be having a bad day or because the officer is having a bad day. He needs to respect the fact that arresting people should be a final choice, a last choice, not a first choice. And, Joyce, we know that there are a lot of people who don't have the same mental attitude as those of us have in terms of remaining calm. We know that we have to remain calm. We have to know we have to pick our battles. But you know that there are a lot of people out there who are African Americans who don't know how to do that, Joyce.
That's true, and that's why that their situations sometimes end up differently than what a situation should be. My thing is that most white has the mentality that they know how to trigger black people, know how to just set you off. So if you know that going in from Jump Street, because that's their mentality, they know how to push your button. They know that you're quick-tempered. This is how they classify us. Quick temper off the chain, know how to push your button in the whole bit. So my thing is we got to learn how to not fall into that trap. We really got to do that, and we have to teach our young people how to carry ourselves so they won't have to fall in a situation like that. Because if they know what makes you tick, what do you think they're going to do? Press your button. So my take on that is that, no, everybody won't act differently the way that I handle a situation. My situation, the way that I probably handle it, quick, easy, keep a certain demeanor so I can be on my way. I don't have to challenge you on anything face-to-face. My thing is that I get all the facts and I deal with you on a different level, where we can be on an even keel, because face-to-face, when you got more authority than I do, I have to deal with you on a certain level until I get in a secure situation and secure environment and deal with you mentally on a head power situation.
Dee, let me ask you, we've been there, done that. You know, we've behaved the way we needed to behave when we get pulled over by police officers. But should we be subjected to their racist behaviors and attitudes such that we just bear whatever they say or do just in order to get out of the situation?
Well, the answer has to be no. And the answer has to be yes. I guess it's a half and half situation. We Look, we got to understand. I think that it's smart to understand that these police officers off duty. Okay, we got to use a little bit of psychology and even to ask why are they like this? All of a sudden, like for the past, ever since Ferguson or maybe a little before that, why are they like that? All of a sudden, they off the cuff so quickly just to want to try to escalate the situation so easily. And I've been saying for the longest, they're on the internet in their spare time. They're being indoctrinated in their spare time. And that has to be the answer. When Donald Trump, and I hate to bring that up, but to me, that's the meat. When he was in his early campaigning and they had opposition at the Trump rallies, and he said, get him out of here. Kick his ass, get him out of here. And, they take that literally because that's what they've been wanting to do all the while. And now they got their guy to make it all right to do that. Okay. Now, if that's true, then we got to change our way of thinking. Like we all been saying, look, when you mentioned yesterday how white people can get away with everything when they come in contact with the police officers, I've seen that happen on YouTube. And a lot of times when that does happen, the white person knows some law. Whereas they know, they understand what their rights are and what their rights are not. And they bring their rights to the forefront right there in the presence of the police officer. When they do that, the officers are frozen in their steps because here's somebody that has knowledge of what we can and what we cannot do. Even when the sergeants come on the scene at that point and the citizen is reciting the knowledge that he knows about law, everybody's just dumbfounded. But see, our folks don't do that. They don't know that. And so what they do know is street justice and cuss you out and drop F-bombs all over the place. And in that, you almost get what you give. And that's a total difference. And I've seen that. And that's why I think it's so good for us to observe. I would say we need to probably sit our children down in front of TV and run back some YouTube clips, all those clips that you send us, run back some clips, pause it, and ask them, now what would you do in this situation? Or what have you seen that was done wrong on both parts? You got to start role-playing.
You're right. Regina, what is going to – how do we go about educating the general public so that they can distinguish when their rights are being violated and what steps they can take to keep themselves safe and so that they can deal with these issues accordingly?
Well, as you said, education starts at home, and then education continues in school. So we start at home with the education of teaching the children what their rights are. Computers are everywhere. Google it. Google your rights as a U.S. citizen, a citizen of the state that you live in. Start teaching your children that. And then when they get into school, you don't necessarily have to depend on the school to do it. You can volunteer to form a club and bring in people from the community who have this expertise to share with the children. So education is the key. It starts at home with pre-educating them on how, and someone just said it, how to react in situations, and then it continues in school.
But so many of these police officers are just bent and determined to put their will, to exert their will on other people. I remember looking at a situation when a young man was drinking an Arizona iced tea. And, you know, a lot of those different cans of Arizona look like a malt liquor can. And a police officer came up to him and asked him what he was drinking. And he showed him the can, but the officers wanted to really just hold the can. And the man was saying, no, look, I'm showing you what I'm drinking. And once the man decided he was not going to release the can, the gentleman just decided he was going to arrest the man. He had just driven up in the parking lot. He got out of the car drinking an Arizona iced tea. And within 15 minutes, the officer had him on the ground, handcuffed, and talking about he was resisting arrest. And the only thing he did was get out of his vehicle with a drink that the man thought initially was alcohol. So, Dee, I'm asking you, when you find yourself in these kind of complications for silly stuff, I think the onus is on the police officer to learn how to back down and stop turning everything into a crime.
But James, if that's true, then there's a serious lack of training, or the protocol is really lax across the nation. Now, our new president vowed to make a difference in that way. I don't know if he's going to have time. He got so much stuff going on. But the training, now, I'm from Atlanta, and I'm from the Southeast, and I actually have never, ever witnessed that. I'm from the South, the dirty South, and I have never witnessed the kind of abuse that I've been seeing on YouTube across this country, and that's kind of staggering to me. Now, I know in Mississippi, you know, in the days of my father and his growing up, and in this early manhood, that may have been prevalent, but I think what I've seen is a conscious effort to be more communicable by law enforcement. It's kind of strange to me that I hear all this going on and here in the birthplace of said racism, that's hardly ever seen. So I'm kind of perplexed in that way.
Well, I have to tell you, all of you, and go on record as saying to you, I went to school at South Carolina State in Orangeburg, South Carolina, and I drove up and down the road during my junior and senior year and never had any fear of police officers. I knew I was supposed to respect them. I knew I was supposed to be calm and collected when I spoke to them. I remember an incident where, you know, you'll get police officers will, one person will take down your speed and the other ones will chase you. Well, I was told that the law was that they had to show you your speed on the radar gun. And I mentioned that to the police officer. I said, I thought I had the right to go see what was on the radar. Well, he said, well, they probably don't change it by now. I said, but that's not my fault they changed it. I thought I was supposed to be able to see, and I don't think I was speeding. So I was talking to him in a normal voice, and he allowed me to get a warning ticket, and he informed me that if I got another speeding ticket within a certain amount of time, then I would have to pay for both of the tickets. And that's how they dealt with that situation. So, but now I can tell you there is, you know, I'm getting ready to possibly go up to South Carolina State in May for a college reunion. And I just don't want to deal with no police officers. I'm just so perplexed by the way that some people are being treated that I don't want to run into a bad one. And that's the kind of way I'm feeling right now, that I just don't want them in my life. I don't want to deal with them because I'm in fear that I might get by the the luck of the draw, I'll get one that is going to be outlandish. Joyce, what are your thoughts about how these incidents are changing, you know, middle-class America's viewpoints related to police officers?
Just like Dee said, things has changed since you have your president at the helm, who has infiltrated a lot of the behaviors and the attitude and dictated the way that society has been treated by law enforcement and how law enforcement is treating the minority. I mean, we hear it almost every day in his delivery. I never will forget what he indicated, that he could go out and shoot somebody and then walk and be freed the next day or whatever. Those are signals, an indication that you're telling law enforcement how to treat your citizens. So you asked the question, what can we do? I think I was sitting and thinking about that while Dee was talking. One thing that I think that can happen when we come up upon a situation like that, I would call 911, let them know that I have Officer James Hodges here in front of me, and I would like to keep this open mic conversation just to make sure that my rights are not violated and that we get a good report that I can be on my way. This way,
all right,
you're putting them back up.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, Josh. I like that idea.
This way, you're reversing it, reverse psychology. You're putting him back on. But this way, you got an open mic. You got the police station there, and they listening to it. And, hey, I bet that can change a whole different situation. I was just started thinking about it. You said, what can we do? I think that's one thing that we can do. I would definitely call 911 and let them know that I'm being approached by Officer James Hodges here, and he has stopped me. Do you mind if I keep my phone as an open mic so I can make sure that my rights are not violated in any way? I'm just uneasy. I'm here by myself, and I just want to make sure that everything is kosher. Boom.
And one of the things that people don't know, see, a lot of times, police officers are making up the rules as they go along. Like, one thing, for instance, is that we're told that when a police officer gets behind you, you're not, there's no necessarily how many feet you're supposed to go before you stop. You're asked to stop in a lit, secure area. You're not supposed to, if you're in a dark area, you're supposed to slowly go somewhere where you can stop and you can feel secure. But you know, and I know, that if you drive too far, it's going to irritate him. You know, but you're not obligated to stop in an area that is makes you feel uncomfortable. But they're not going to adhere to that when you're out there in the field, even though that is the state of the law. Regina, what are your thoughts now? You've been living in South Carolina a long time. Has your attitude changed related from when you were a young person to now, at all related to police officers?
No, I've always been nervous when they come up on me. My attitude towards how I will interact with them has changed. It's made me become more aware. And as Joyce said, and I'm glad she said that, because I never thought about dialing 911. I love that idea, and I'm going to pass that idea on. But I've always just wanted to be very cautious when dealing with them. Now, I guess my attitude has changed a little in South Carolina. I think that they're more aware that people are watching them here in South Carolina. And they're more cautious about what they do here in Columbia. I don't know about in the Hicks of Orangeburg, but here in Columbia. So you better still be careful, James, as you go to Orangeburg in May for your reunion.
Dee, let me ask you this question. Do you feel like police officers who now know about all this videotape will get upset if you're videotaping them? Now, what kind of, there is no law that says you cannot, you can't videotape an officer as he's dealing with you, but some of them are going to become upset that you might have that power to tape them as they're interacting with you.
And that's an excellent question, James, because that question, I asked myself that question if that were to happen. Now, when I suggested that young people start getting their friends and they start getting their cell phones and they do these mock situations and interact with police officers, all right? If the police officer feel agitated about being videotaped, then you got to know your rights and you got to know the law. Now, you know, back in the day, Dr. King and those, they used to, if they protested and the officers confront them and they didn't like the fact they were protesting, they would all go to jail together. If that be the case here in modern times, then document that by way of video on your cell phone. And if the officer becomes agitated and he arrests you falsely, then there you go. You have what you need. In all of that, we have to use today's technology again, and I love the idea that that George brought up, because we got to know how to flip the script here in modern times. We got to teach our children how to hold their composure, and we got to start thinking better on how to do and what to do and what not to do. But yes, the probability is, they're gonna raise that fact. But in doing that, then we got to remember to tell them, well, we would like to have your field commander on site. I want your field commander on site. Where's your field commander? Please get your field commander for me. And then in doing that, somebody who really understands the law, wearing a badge, is going to de-escalate the situation. And I think that would be my quick answer for you, James.
And you're right. You know, one of the things I think we need to do, a lot of these cameras we can put in our own cars, and so that the film is running and they can't just say snatch it down or anything, is in place and it's permanently in place on your shield, on your windows, I mean the front of your window, and you can just turn it around so it faces your driver's side so that there'll be tape. But, you know, these are the inexpensive ways that we need to do that. I know I saw a device the other day that you can have a camera in a pen, and so that you can be audio taping the officer's commands with a pen in your pocket by just touching the head of the pen before he walks up to your car, and he won't know that he's being audio taped and videotaped. And I think that's what you need to do to safeguard yourself, is to have ways that are already permanently in your car, so it is taping your journey all the time, 24/7, or some device that's in your car that you can simply touch, and it will at least audio tape, if not both videotape, the confrontation between you and the officer. Because I'm telling you, they're going to change their story when the confrontation gets ugly. They're going to figure out a way that they can describe what you did, justify their actions. And unless you got some independent recording of what took place, you're going to have a tough time trying to prove that they were the ones in the wrong. We're going to take another short break, and we'll come back and have what we call our final word for today.
Help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road.
love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know He loves forever in my heart. We've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause He love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad. Jesus is love.
Just a thought, January 30th, 2017. I am a Democrat. I will be a Democrat beyond the existence of my physical being. I am a liberal because living in the past does not work for those that I serve. I believe in liberal causes because as I better understand the world, I understand the need for change. I live to honor humanity, to serve people who seem unable to grasp the life we should all have. I see the inequity of treatment and desire to see it abolished. The need for the blind to see has never been more necessary. Those who fight for the status quo cling to an era that turns the invisible visible. Embracing wrong can never give one a positive result. The fight for the weak can never be seen as embracing the defeat. We have to rectify the issues that are created by the human trait of racism and supremacy. My God is the creator of all things and the maker of humanity. My view of the world is in line with my purpose as a Democrat. I will not be ashamed of my love for people and the fight to make life equal. We all deserve better opportunities to learn, and the chance to live life free of infirmities. We deserve to live free of the creation of Donald Trump. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. The show is brought to you 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 p.m. West Coast time. Call in at 657-383-0309. We no longer can reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out in front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. This show has been established for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshaies.com. That's www.jamestdeshaies. I look forward to you writing to me at djames82@aol.com. That's djames82@aol.com. Let me know what issues you would like to address on my radio show.
All right. Joyce, what is your final word for today?
Well, I think that when we are approached by law enforcement, we just need to be able to read the person and address the situation with what you're dealing with in front of you. We got to learn how to flip the switch. And one way is one of those suggestions that I've indicated is calling the 911 number. Or when we as bystanders, we see situations in the community, when we see that something is being wrong by a police officer, we need to start defending that person also by calling 911 and telling the policeman that, officer, I see that this situation is not right. I don't think you are handling this different. I'm calling 911. So we got to get involved too and let them know as a community, this is how we're going to resolve our issues instead of just being on the sideline and watching things happen. So we as a community needs to come and get involved too. And that could re-trigger a situation with sending a message that we're not going to let you come in and railroad us in our own community the way that you have been.
Yeah, you know, we have to learn that we have to be our brother's keeper. And it may require sometimes that we take out the time to watch and observe what officers might be doing at a distance to fellow citizens so that they know that their word won't be the only word related to the things that they're doing. And so if we have time, we may need to just sometimes just stop our cars in a safe place and videotape what's going on, so in order to be a help to our brothers and sisters. Dee, your final word for today?
Yeah, I would like to suggest to young folks, look, if your community is under suspicion of misuse of law, if you feel that the law enforcement in your area are ticketing and stopping the citizens unlawfully, then do your research, take advantage of the material given by way of YouTube or whatever, brush up on the law, all right? Then use some intellect and take your friends out and document any situations that you may come across. But you got to have your knowledge together so where you can use it to your advantage and put an end to this situation in your community.
Yeah, I think you're so right. We have to be proactive in the way we're going to deal with situations, and we need to get the technology that will keep us safe and be a voice for us if there ever becomes any conflict. We have to really work on kind of figuring out what steps we're going to take before conflict arises so that we already know in our heads what actions we're going to take. We want to just let everyone know that, again, I just appreciate everybody's support. We're on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time. This platform is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear so that everyone knows exactly what it is you think and believe. We're here to make sure that those of us who never have an opportunity to have our opinions heard, our voices heard, will have it on this show. Please be with me tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time, as we talk about the issues that impact our lives today and in the future. Take care, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Making love with you is all I wanna do. Love.